Jesus, we do praise you and thank you. You are always worthy of our praise. So in this time we have together, and in the praise we just gave you, and in the praise that continues in our hearts, you be glorified, Jesus. Hear the love and the passion that we have for you. As we lift up your name and exalt you, we thank you and praise you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have your way and you do what you will in this time. In the same way that you do and you have your will in these bodies, in these vessels, in these lives. We're just thankful and praise you for these lives you've given us. Let them always bring glory to you. So now we're gathered here this morning as a group assembled to hear your word, to hear as you reveal yourself to us through your word. So again, you be glorified. We anticipate and we're excited to hear what you have. It's in your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated this morning. Well, the last 2 weeks, I could probably use a little light, Donna. So the last few weeks, the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at how to have ears to hear. And we've been gaining instruction in that, in how to hear the voice of the Lord from the examples of Simeon and Ananias. Now, from them and from their witness, we've been able to see that there's an internal and there's an external value in hearing. With Gideon. There is a Gideon. Gideon's here. Good morning, Gideon. With Simeon, we see that internal value in hearing. And that internal value is Jesus is speaking to us and he's encouraging us as he speaks to us on a daily basis. That's the internal value. Ananias learned to hear the voice of the Lord so that he could be used to strengthen others. He could be used to empower other people. That's the external value of hearing the Lord, hearing the voice of the Lord. We also learned the last couple weeks, and I focused on this a lot, we learned an awful lot about the fact that there is noise cancellation. And so there is that principle that hearing the sounds, hearing the noise of the world, cancels out our ability to hear the voice of God in our lives. There's a whole lot more that we learned. And I'd love to give you a lot of reviews so we're all on the same page, but I found that I had like about a quarter of my message this morning was just review, and I thought, you know what, I just can't do that. I love teaching these things, and I'd fall into the habit. If I gave too much, I'd go right back into teaching those same things again, because I love those things that we shared. If you miss them, go to our website, cityonahilltc.org. You can hear both of those messages. But what I want to do today is I want to pick up. We've been talking about Simeon and Ananias, and most of what we've been talking about is Simeon. So I want to pick up with that example that we see in Simeon. I want to conclude with Simeon and then move on to the example that we see from Ananias. So this morning, let's read the account of Simeon. And we find that in Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 25 through 30. So Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 30. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit to the temple, and when the parents brought the child Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, and he blessed God, and he said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. So this is the story, this is the account of Simeon. And we can see so much from Simeon, we learn from Simeon. Simeon is that great example. Simeon, because he learned to hear, and because Simeon actively pursued hearing the voice of the Lord, Simeon is at the temple just at the moment, just at the time that Jesus, God in the flesh, the Savior, is there to be dedicated, consecrated, sanctified to God. That is being where you need to be at the precise moment that you need to be there. What are the things that Jesus wants you to see? Where are the places that he wants you to be so he can bless you and use you to be a blessing to others. It's about learning to hear. That's how Simeon knew where to be. Learn to hear. Because Simeon had learned to hear, he was able to see the Messiah to hold in his arms, Christ. There's just a strength and a blessing that comes. Simeon is the one that gives us that example of learning. What are the things that I'm missing? What am I missing because I haven't learned to hear the voice of the Lord? What are the things that I'm missing out on? Listen, if you want to be able to see the spiritual realm realities in your life, and you do, if you want to see the spiritual realm realities in your life, while the rest of the world, and even while unfortunately a lot of the rest of the body of Christ is lost in the miasma of life, is lost in the fog of this natural world, you can do it. It all comes down to this. It comes down to being able, this is the beginning, to be able to learn to hear and recognize his voice. And unfortunately, for the vast majority of Christians in our culture, most Christians haven't made the effort or taken the time to learn to hear his voice. Let's go to verse number 28. I meant to show you verse number 27. Go back and look. I just want to show you verse 27 from the Amplified Bible. And prompted by the Holy Spirit, he came to the temple enclosure when the parents brought in the little child Jesus to do for him what was customary according to the law. I just love that imagery that as Jesus as a baby is being brought there. And again, you have to remember that Simeon is one who is so familiar with the voice of Jesus that he already knew, that he heard Jesus saying, and that he knew when to go. He heard and listened when Jesus said, time to go to the temple. He was there at the exact moment. Now let's go down and look at verse number 28. Verse 28 says, he took him up into his arms, blessed God, and said, look at that, but Simeon had received through his life, Simeon had received the word of God because he had developed the ability to listen and to hear. Now here at the temple, Simeon receives into his arms the word of God as flesh. Simeon received the word of God as flesh into his arms, and he did it with ease. I mean, when you read this, this all just happens so easily. He's where he's supposed to be at the time he's supposed to be there. He gets to hold the Messiah in his arms. Look, ask yourself this question. Is it hard? Is it difficult to receive and lift up a little baby and hold a baby in your arms? Is it hard to do? Yeah, see, I see a mom. Moms, grandmas? No, you know the answer to that. Of course, it's not a burden at all. It's not difficult at all. And whatever burden it is, whatever slight little burden it is completely offset by the joy of receiving and holding this little baby in your arms. That is how easy it is for us to receive the word of the Lord in our hearing. It's just that easy. It's simple. It's not hard. We make it hard. It's not a burden like we make it out to be. It is not difficult to hear the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to you personally. I know that people say, they complain that it's hard. I'm telling you, it is not. Change your attitude and your thoughts on it. It is easy. It's as easy as Simeon lifting up and holding that little baby into his arms. It's not hard to do. You know what's amazing? Jesus is talking to you, each one of us. He's talking to you right now. And what's even more shocking is you're hearing him right now. That's indisputable. You might not recognize it, but you are hearing his voice speaking to you right now. The thing is, we need to learn to be able to recognize his voice. And when you hear his voice, you need to make the determination that says, I'm going to give priority to that voice over all the other sounds, over all the other noise of the world that's around me. It's not hard to hear. We make it hard. It's not a burden at all to hear Jesus speaking personally to you all the time. Look, he loves you so much. There's not a second that goes by in your life that he's not talking to you. He's not speaking to you. And remember this, at salvation, you were a new creation. And part of that new creation design is he equipped you with the ability to hear his voice. I want to look at the actual design of our physical ear, what God created in our hearing. Because we can see parallels by looking at that, and we can see by looking at those parallels just how easy it really is for us to hear the voice of Jesus in our lives. So I could spend more than an hour. You know, I told Donna that I had some pictures, because I just like to have pictures. I told Donna I couldn't do it. It doesn't matter what, even the drawings, even the animation, they were just disgusting. So picture this in your mind. I've spared you the really graphic pictures of what an ear looks like, because it's not that pretty on the inside. But I could take an hour, and we could just talk about the amazing design, the amazing complexity of the design of your ear and your ability to hear. It is just an amazing thing that God has created and designed for us to have ears to hear. It could take a lot of time, but we're going to just make this, I'm going to come back to this on several points, and we'll look at several different things. I just want to hit some highlights, some relevant points as we do this. Now, if we go back 2 weeks ago, if you remember, 2 weeks ago, we had learned, and this is an oversimplification, but hearing begins with this. Hearing begins with your eardrum vibrating to sound waves. And then it transfers those sound waves and sends them as a signal to your brain, and your brain is amazingly able to take those signals and interpret them as sounds that you and I recognize. Now, your eardrum is the thickness of a piece of paper. That's your eardrum. And yet, God has created your eardrum to have the keen sense, such a keen sense and awareness of the vibrations of sound waves, that your eardrum can actually detect, I'm going to say this slow because I want you to picture this, your eardrum can actually detect the vibrations of a sound wave that moves your eardrum less than the diameter of a molecule of hydrogen. Any sound wave that moves your eardrum, you can't even see it. It's incomprehensible to us. And your eardrum is able, he created your eardrum to be able to pick up and be sensitive to that. Listen to this. Okay, you didn't feel that at all. But that was like a level 5 hurricane compared to what we're talking about, to how sensitive the eardrum is to being able to pick up and detect the vibrations of sound. And God created it that way so you could hear those things, so you could pick up those things. The normal sound or hearing, the reality of hearing, the actual hearing is nothing, has nothing to do, almost nothing to do with sound waves and the energy of sound waves. The actual reality of hearing is almost entirely nothing to do with sound waves. It is almost entirely to do with the amazing equipment that God placed in your ears and its sensitivity. That's how you hear. Nothing to do with sound waves. Everything to do with what was created in here and its sensitivity. The sensitivity, the equipment that God gave you to hear. Which, by the way, answers that old rhetorical question. If a tree falls in the wood and there's no one there to hear it, is there sound? No, there's not. Because if a tree falls in the wood, all that it creates sound waves. But sound waves are just energy. Sound happens exclusively in your ear, in the creation that God made. So it's in the forest, whether it's your ear or an animal's ear. If there's no ears there, that's where sound takes place. That's what sound is. So think about this. If God created such amazing detail and design in your natural hearing, so detailed, so precise, so sensitive, that you can actually hear the sound of a single cricket chirping a half mile away on a calm day? If he designed your natural ear to do that, don't you think he created your spiritual ear to be able to hear his voice with the exact same, if not more, precision and sensitivity? He took that kind of care for your natural ear so you can hear. You can hear his voice. We're created with the ability to hear him. All right, so that wasn't a whole lot. We spent a lot of time last 2 weeks talking about Simeon. Let's move on and look at Ananias. We touched on him, but we see Ananias' account in the book of Acts. So we're going to read Acts chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 10 through 19. Acts chapter 9, 10 through 19. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus. Remember the fact that he's a disciple. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Here I am, Lord. So the Lord said to him, Arise, and go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he's praying. And in a vision, he had seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he's done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has the authority from the chief priests to bind up all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way, entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once. And he arose and he was baptized. So when he received food and he was strengthened, then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. So that is Saul's account as he's relating the story about how God used Ananias with him. Now, I want to look at verse number 10 specifically. So Acts chapter 9, verse number 10 says this. Now there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, Here I am, Lord. I love this. Here's Ananias. He is so accustomed to hearing the voice of the Lord that when Jesus calls him by name, Ananias actually responds out loud and says, Here I am, Lord. This is so much the norm for Ananias because he has just become so used to hearing Jesus speaking to him. This is the example of what it should be like for us. It's just the way life is. I'm used to hearing Jesus talking to me. Remember, we as his sheep are designed to be able to hear his voice. This is what it says about that in John chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep. The sheep hear his voice. Again, this is a statement of fact. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. And where he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. We, like Ananias, should become so accustomed to hearing the voice of Jesus speaking to us daily that our response is, Lord, here I am. But unfortunately, what we do is we tend to wind up allowing the noise of the world to cancel out our ability to hear his voice as he speaks to us on an ongoing basis. Let me go back again and use the example of our human ear and how the human ear works. You may not know this, but your eardrum is actually living tissue. That means that your eardrum has countless blood vessels throughout it. Now, I just told you it's thinner than a piece of paper, but it has countless blood vessels running throughout it. That means, think about this, that means that there is blood flowing through your eardrum all the time. Now, you can feel your pulse. You felt your pulse. You can feel it strong. I mean, you can feel there is a force to your pulse. So think about it. How is it that blood that is racing, that is pulsating through your eardrum, how is it then that your eardrum is still able to be sensitive to the vibrations of sound waves that are so small, they're smaller than a molecule of hydrogen? How is that possible? Well, here's why. Because God created your ear, your natural ear. This is amazing. He created your natural ear with the ability to filter out the sound of the blood that is rushing through your eardrum and pulsing through your eardrum while maintaining your eardrum's sensitivity to the slightest sound wave vibrations, even too small for you to comprehend. Now, if he did that, for your natural hearing. Don't you think he'll do at least that much for your spiritual hearing? The truth of the matter is, God has created within your spiritual hearing, he's created for you the ability, he's created for you the ability to cancel out, to filter out the noise of the world. You might say it's impossible. He created that ear, that spiritual ear, that inner ear. He created it for you, and he created in that the ability to filter out the sound of the world so that you can hear his voice. Because he's speaking to you so that you can hear his voice and you can understand the things that he's saying to you. Jesus himself said, we just read it, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. This is a statement of fact. This is not up for debate. It's irrefutable. My sheep hear my voice and they know my voice. Accept that as a statement of fact, indisputable. It's what we should expect. It's what we should expect. He's prepared us. It's what we should expect. We need to train ourselves to be able to hear. We have the capabilities. Train ourselves to be able to hear his voice. Now, when Ananias heard the voice of Jesus and he responded, he spoke out loud and he said, here I am, Lord. What's our response? See, too often, and most likely, our response is that we tell ourselves, well, that was probably just me. Well, that wasn't Jesus. That was probably just me. Listen, if you think you're hearing the voice of the Lord speaking to you, don't tell yourself, oh, you're just being silly. Even if you think you're hearing the voice of the Lord, if you even think it, be bold. Respond. Say, here I am, Lord. And then watch what he will do. Respond out loud like Ananias did. Listen, faith always demands a response. If you are hearing the voice of Jesus Christ, you're hearing it. Just haven't always learned to recognize it, but you're hearing it. The ability is there. He's created within you the ability to hear. If you think you're hearing the voice of the Lord, then respond out loud. Say, here I am, Lord. Faith always demands a response. So act in faith. Act in faith. And when you think you're hearing it, when you hear the voice of the Lord, then respond accordingly and say, here I am, Lord. Yes, Jesus, I will do that. Thank you, Jesus. Because faith demands a response. Say something, because faith demands a response. Well, I meant to him, not to me, but that's okay, because it lets me know you're listening. Faith demands a response, and the reason that Jesus was able to use Ananias is because he knew that Ananias had the ability, had trained himself to hear, and he knew that Ananias would respond, because faith demands a response. Jesus calls upon those that he knows have the ability, have learned to hear, and will respond. When you hear the voice of Jesus, even when you think you hear the voice of Jesus, respond. Respond, and then watch how Jesus uses you. This is exciting. Then watch how Jesus uses you to touch other lives and advance his kingdom. This is the external value of hearing the voice of the Lord. You get to impact. You're encouraged yourself. Listen, there's nothing more exciting when you know you're hearing Jesus speaking to you and you can act and respond accordingly. But it's even more exciting when you know that Jesus is speaking to you so that you can speak into someone else's life and advance the kingdom of God to his glory. Man, that's when it's exciting. That's when it's most exciting. You know, Ananias, his name is forever tied to Paul. Ananias' name is forever tied to Paul and tied to the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. Because Ananias heard and responded. What are the things that Jesus is saying to you? What are the things that Jesus wants to show you in these last days? You personally and individually, what are those things? Hear and respond. Hear and respond like he did. You know, verse number 10 also says that Ananias was a disciple of Jesus. By definition, the word disciple means one who's a learner or one who's a pupil. But in this context, it also means, in verse number 10, it also means one who's an adherent, accepting the instructions that are given. You can't accept the instructions that are given if you haven't heard. Think about that. There's instructions that are being given to you. Ananias was a disciple because he heard. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ unless you have learned to hear. Now, that doesn't mean you're not saved. Don't misunderstand me. There's a difference between salvation and being a disciple. We'll talk about discipleship at some point. But you cannot be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you have not yet learned to hear. Because part of being a disciple, like Ananias, part of being a disciple is one who learns and one who hears and one who is able to follow the instructions that are given. Ananias was an adherent. He adhered to all the instructions that Jesus gave him on a daily basis. By the example that we just saw, he even adhered to the instructions that made absolutely no sense, that were imprudent to the natural mind. You're going to go and seek out Saul, the persecutor of the Jews? But Ananias heard and he adhered. My daily life should always be conveying my hearing and my discipleship to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to go back one final time. One final time and look at the natural ear. Because if you think about it, when we think about the ear, we always think about hearing. But the ear that God has provided us in the natural, it provides us more than just the ability to hear, amazing enough as it is. But what else does the ear provide for us? The ear gives us balance, guidance, and a sense of direction. That's all provided from your ear. Your inner ear, and this picture gets really gross and disgusting, so that's why I didn't show it to you. But your inner ear, there's a cochlea, and there's fluid that flows through these three chambers in your ear. And it's within those flowing of those that fluid in those three chambers, that's where you get your sense of balance. That's where you get your sense of direction in all things. In the inner ear, you get your sense of balance, you get your sense of direction. Through the inner ear, you're actually able to identify the direction that a sound came from. If a sound took place outside right now, we would all turn our heads that way because we would know it came from that direction. You get that sense of direction from your ear. You also get the sense of how far away that source originated from, so you can guide yourself in where you're going. You get that from your inner ear. Well, likewise, your spiritual ear, your spiritual hearing provides you with a sense of balance, a sense of guidance, and a sense of His direction for your life. If you lack balance in life, if you lack balance in life in between your natural world and the spiritual realm, between the natural realities and the spiritual realities, that's an indicator there's a problem within your inner ear, within your spiritual ear. If you're guided more through your life, more often by the things of the world and the things that you see in the natural world, as opposed to seeing yourself living in and seeing the results, experiencing the spiritual realities in your life, then you're out of balance. You need to get in balance. It means you're either not listening to the Lord or you're not responding to the voice when you hear it. Because He has equipped you. He has equipped me. He's equipped us with a spiritual ear to hear His voice, to have proper balance, and to be able to understand His sense of direction for your life. If you don't have those things and you haven't learned those things, you're going to have that lack of balance between the natural and the spiritual. Does that make sense? Okay, one last thing I want to look at. Verse number 11. I love this verse. In verse number 11, Acts chapter 9, verse 11, it says, "So the Lord said to him, 'Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for the one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying.'" I love the Bible, because there's so many outstanding, enormous truths that are exposed in the smallest things in the Word. I always wondered, why is it important for us to know the name of the street that Ananias had to go to find Paul? Really, can you think of any other place in the Bible where you actually get a street address as a location? But if it's in the Bible, it's important. It's there for a reason. So what's the significance of straight street? Well, if you look in the word in the Greek, the word for straight, the word straight means make a way that is straight and level before the king. Remember that. Make a way that is straight and level before the king. It also talks about being right in your heart, having the right heart and life, the right heart and mind in your life. But picture it as making that straight and level way before the king. Now add that with the understanding of the word street. Because in the Greek, there's a synonym for the word that is there for street. And I love that. A synonym means a fork in the road. In our lives, every day, you're going to come across forks in the road. There's going to be a choice that you have to make. You're going to come across a fork in the road where you've got to decide which direction are you going to go. And the logic of the world and the logic of the flesh is going to direct you in one direction. But you have to ascertain what is the direction the Lord has for you. What is His direction? There is a street that if we take it, overcomes all things of the flesh and makes the way straight and level before the King of Kings who goes before you. That's the road I want to take. That's the road I want to make sure that I'm on. That's where we need to be. So when you're standing there at the fork of the road in your life and there's no clear indication as to which direction to go, been there? Been there this week? Will you be there today? When you're standing there with no clear indication as to which way to go, God created for you a spiritual ear that gives you balance. You can hear His voice. It gives you balance. It gives you a sense of direction by hearing His voice. My sheep know my voice. Hear my voice. And they know my voice. He's created us to be able to take that road. Amen? Jesus knew that Ananias would hear and take the right fork in the road. So Jesus knew that He could trust Ananias to lead Paul, to take Paul, to prepare Paul for the ministry, for the work that Jesus had for Paul, which was a work that changed the entire world. I'm not overstating this when I say this to you. By everything that we just learned and by the examples that we've seen, and by the example of Ananias, because again, Ananias is that external value. It's how hearing Jesus Christ speaking to us enables us to have the ability to go out and to minister, to touch other lives. It's that external value. I'm not overstating this. You have the power of Jesus Christ in you to change the world. But it all starts with that foundation of being able to hear and respond. We need to train ourselves to hear and respond. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to do communion today. And as we do communion, I tell you this all the time we do communion. The simplicity and the power of communion is awesome to me. We have the cup, which symbolizes the blood of Jesus. Because of His shed blood, that's what gives us our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are joint heirs with Him. That blood symbolizes and shows you have relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. That's your position. The bread, that's His body broken for us. But He is the Word. He's the bread of life. So when we're eating the bread, you are literally eating the Word of God. You are eating and consuming into yourself every promise that is in the Word of God. So when you're eating the bread, think about the promises that you're standing on. You are eating those promises and bringing them inside yourself. Now, what I want to do today, in addition to that, because it's a somber time for us to realize the sacrifice that He made for us. Somber time. Realize, as we partake in the blood, your relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. Realize as we take the bread, this is His body broken for us, and He is the Word. This is the promises of the Word that you are eating and consuming yourself. But if you remember, I said earlier, Ananias is forever tied to Paul. His name is forever tied to Paul and is tied to that new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ because he heard and he responded. In that quiet time, because I'm going to break the bread, I'm going to have you guys come up. We'll all take it. We'll go to our seats, and then we'll wait and partake together. But as you're sitting there, just think about this. I want my name to be tied to Jesus Christ. I want my name always to be tied to Jesus Christ and the things that he's called me to do. So as you're sitting and you're thinking in that somberness, think about what are the things, and just let him speak to you. Listen and hear the things that he's called you to do. It doesn't mean you're going to hear big things. Maybe you will. But it's even the little things that he tells you to do. Those little things have powerful domino effects. As Ananias' name is forever tied to Paul, in the new covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ, we want our names to be tied to his glory because we are listening to him. Amen? So Jesus broke the bread with his disciples, and he prayed. Jesus, we thank you and praise you. We can't even begin to express the humbleness in the reality of your love and the sacrifice that you made for us. Everything that you do, everything in the Word, everything represents your love for each one of us. As we partake today, we just thank you and praise you for that love. We acknowledge it. We know that we were sinners. But you, through your sacrifice, through your blood, we are cleansed, we are made whole. So as we partake, our minds are thinking about our relationship with you. Thank you, Jesus. And your promises and your word as we consume it. And we want our names to be forever tied to you and to the things you've called us to. In your name and to your glory, Jesus. Amen. Amen.